Hello and welcome to the National Trust Surrey Hills podcast. I'm Jo Dyson. Today I'm visiting a site that almost seems to straddle two worlds, the hubbub of modern life and busy traffic, and that of times gone by, when much of the county was wooded and the North Downs played a key role in the lives of many people, both at home and abroad. Boasting the most amazing views and naturally defensive positions, this site now welcomes visitors openly. This time, no military ID cards required. Now, I'm not breaking any secrets by telling you that I'm at Reigate Hill today. But it wasn't always this easy to get here. In the past, the site would have been heavily guarded and patrolled by the military, not so easy to walk on and enjoy the amazing views that you can do now. Nor would it have been so easy to get a great cup of coffee and people watch like I am at the moment. To find out a bit more about this place's top secret history, I've arranged to meet with National Trust archaeologist James Brown. And as I'm waiting, I can see loads of people getting ready for their walks. You could probably hear these dogs excitedly jumping around and barking in the background. And there are some mountain bikers looking pretty muddy too. Hi, James.
Hi.
Oh, and who is this gorgeous little companion you've got with you?
So this is Toby, one of our National Trust Archaeology dig dogs. He likes to join me on a lot of site visits kind of thing. So an opportunity to come out and chat to you about Reigate. It's a great opportunity to bring the dog out as well and go for a bit of an explore.
Brilliant. So we've got a furry friend joining us on our walk. Thanks so much for coming to Reigate Hill. I've been dying to find out about the history of this site. So I hear there's lots of secrets to be uncovered here.
There is indeed. A pleasure to be here, and obviously it's a great opportunity to get out of the office and come and share some of the stories of Reigate, and yeah, look at what we know and also what we don't know, because always, you know, there's always those bits that we don't know, and we kind of really encourage our visitors to actually share some of their stories with us as well. So let's see what we can find.
Okay, well let's get going and Toby can lead the way.
Brilliant, off we go.
I've been told that you will be the person to tell me all about the secrets of this special place.
Well, I think we're going to try and unpick some of the history we can see around us as we go for a walk along the North Downs Way. As you said, there's a lot of more recent history that goes on at Reigate Hill, and we're going to explore some of that. But there's a lot more going on as well. So actually, if you were here 100 million years ago, you would actually be under an ocean.
Really?
And the chalk was forming around us. So you'd be underneath an ocean and lots of little kind of chalk skeletons of little shells falling to the ground and being compressed. And they form the chalk that we're so iconic today that we're going to walk along. And if you're kind of walking here through kind of over the thousands of years, you've been following the footsteps of our ancestors, traipsing this route across the North Downs. And the reason they would have picked this route is you'd have amazing views kind of south over the Weald, which is heavily wooded, towards the South Downs on a good day. Today, it's rather maybe not so great views, a lot of fog or mist around us kind of thing. Still hear the traffic in the background, but this would have been an iconic route with great views to the south and also great views north to London. Obviously, we were walking here 6,000 years ago, London wouldn't have been there, but you've been looking across kind of wide plains and using this kind of high point to kind of keep an eye on animals moving through the landscape that you might be wanting to go to hunt for your dinner. And we know that because we have found kind of flint tools left behind by humans moving through this landscape. But what we're going to go and look at today is more of the more obvious kind of archaeology in terms of concrete right angles. But even though it's our potentially more obvious, doesn't mean we know much more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're leaving the cafe. Are we going to head over this little quite ornate bridge?
Yeah, first we've got to almost link from the cafe and the car park across onto North Downs Way, which means that we have to cross the 217. A subtle break in the kind of chalk ridge that we're kind of walking along. Yeah, so what we're walking up here is you walk along from the bridge and start walking up up this kind of slight gradient here. You can tell we're following a really old track because we are almost kind of hemmed in by an avenue of really old beech trees.
Oh, are these beech trees either side of us?
Yeah, these are beech trees, and you almost quite see a lot of beech trees used in kind of hedging or fencing, but these ones are really kind of I suppose what we call veteran or ancient trees, really significant. And one of the actual interesting things about beech trees is their really smooth bark. And a lot of people think that archaeology is all about just digging holes in the ground, but actually it's about asking ourselves questions, looking out for various clues. And one of the things I really like to look at is actually take some time and actually look a bit closer to these beech trees and looking for graffiti.
Graffiti, so actually looking on trees?
Yeah, looking for kind of tree graffiti. And we don't obviously encourage people to leave their own marks nowadays. No. But in the past, and especially on beech trees where it's nice and smooth, soldiers or people that have been walking through this landscape might have left their mark. And what we're looking for is on the smooth bark is graffiti that's slightly higher up because the tree would have grown. And also where someone's carved the letters, that would normally spread. So you get these really wide letters. And what we found, especially around military sites, so we've got the clue to the history of Reigate here, is that you normally have a lot of bored people.
Bored people.
So what do you do? You either get them digging holes for training, but you also get them carving into trees. And we've got really good records of across Reigate and Surrey Hills where kind of men have left their kind of military numbers in, their addresses. And we can actually use that to unpick some of the human stories of the more kind of obvious in-your-face concrete and various structures we see around here, which is really nice because it adds that kind of more personal touch to the kind of the site here. But it's archaeology is about keeping on keeping your eyes open and looking for those little clues in the landscape and just asking questions about those. So yeah, we'll kind of keep our eyes open and see what we can see if we can spot anything as we go through.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, you saying that archaeology is sort of about, people might think it's about finding things in the ground. I must admit, that's sort of what I thought. You know, you see those TV programmes, don't you, with the archaeological digs. But it's more than that then.
Yeah, so archaeology is a kind of about looking for the clues left by past humans. And what you'll find is that kind of, because where we, especially on the Reigate Hill here, where people have been walking this route for kind of generations, they've all left their mark on top of each other. And archaeology is about trying to unpick some of those clues in the landscape and use those to tell stories. And that's the really important bit. Archaeology is about humans. Yeah. So, and things that humans like to do is tell stories and actually understand what's been going on. So that's one of the really delights of my role, is being able to actually unpick some of these stories and share that with our visitors.
What got you into archaeology?
Well, my kind of parents would say that the sand pit and the diggers in the sand pit got larger. But again, it comes back to the stories.
Yeah, for visitors to know. So will you be telling me about some of the archaeological finds at Reigate Hill and therefore what stories you have uncovered here?
Yeah, so the kind of enjoyable thing about Reigate, actually there's some really in-your-face structures which you're going to explore. So it's almost like a kind of easy footsteps into archaeology. There's some really obvious structures here that we can kind of capture your attention with, talk about, but actually use those to then tell some wider stories and actually talk about some of the finds and some of the events that have happened here over the past couple of hundred years or so.
Brilliant. So it's a good springboard for your archaeological journey.
Yes, it is indeed. And it's, a really kind of nice place to do that, and say really accessible, though it's a bit muddy on the path is solid, that we can get access from the car park and the cafe to these sites really easily, which is great for our visitors.
Brilliant. Wow, so we're only 10 minutes walk from the car park and now we've come across this bridge with big stone either side. It looks rather imposing, actually. What is this, James?
So welcome to Reigate Fort, and what we're doing now is we're walking across a kind of rampart ditch. So we've come across a ditch and then into these earth, kind of big earth banks, which are protection, and then what we're looking at is a large amount of concrete here. So when we talk
really
about archaeology, looking
dark concrete is like very black and dark and imposing. And these doors, big black, are they steel?
Big iron doors kind of thing. So what we're walking into is a really functional building. So whereas you went across the bridge and you had those really nice iron railings, here now it's all about function and form kind of thing. So it's these really heavy doors are pretty much the protection for the fort.
Yeah, I mean, no one's getting through those iron doors when they're closed, are they?
No, and that gives us an idea of this kind of this use of this site here kind of thing. So I've already actually made a reference to being a fort, but as we approach it, you've got the ditch, the banks, the concrete, the heavy metal. It gives an idea that it's all about defence here. It's about a statement, a power piece as well. So yeah, so Reigate Fort is actually one of our London mobilisation centres. So it's a really short-lived part of our military history here. So quite a special site, actually, that in around 1888, there was real concern from the kind of United Kingdom about the speed which the French and the Russians were building warships, and a concern that the Royal Navy couldn't actually keep up with that. So a concern for protection of London, they kind of embarked on a kind of rapid building of about kind of 13 mobilisation centres to protect London with a 72-mile kind of protection kind of entrenchment. What that was the idea that would actually protect London. And rather than building all of those entrenchments or gun battery positions, what they built was 13 mobilisation centres where all the weapons, all the tools could be stored, with the idea that in case of an invasion, all the men would come here, collect their weapons, go out to their predefined site, dig in and protect London. So this chain of mobilisation centres would have all been connected by trenches and gun batteries. So the idea that would have kind of created a ring south of London to protect from any kind of advancement from the south coast by the French in towards London. This, as I say, was really short-lived, actually, because by around 1900, the Royal Navy kind of shipbuilding program had really been brought up to speed, and they realised that actually, even though they'd built these only for like 10 years, they were now already obsolete. So a lot of those were sold off. Because the National Trust had Reigate Hill and the site here, they actually kind of just kept hold of this. And whereas many of the forts were sold off, turned into flats or kind of amended into offices, this one here has stayed relatively untouched. And it gives us a really kind of unique opportunity to actually see that period where there was real concern about the French, one of those kind of ups and downs of our history with France, and what they built at that point to protect us, but within 10 years was obsolete and already being kind of replaced by new technology. So yeah, this is a bit of a rare glimpse into that kind of period of our history.
What's up these steps here? Should we go and have a look?
Yeah, so as we walk up these steps now, what we're looking at is the tops of some trees and a lot of fog. On a nice sunny day, this would give you kind of views south across the Weald. You would potentially on a nice day be able to see Gatwick Airport, planes taking off here. And it gives you, obviously hard to see it today, but this gives an understanding of why the actual fort was placed here. And a lot of the structures, the history of Reigate Hill, these North Downs, has been a really prominent position due to those views south and north. As you say, we're not seeing a great amount today, but if you pick your day when you come to visit here, you'll get a lot of these kind of views opening up. And even though quite a lot of the areas you walk through is quite heavily treed, what you've got to imagine again is put yourself in a bit of an archaeological mindset. It's about trying to unpick or unravel time around you. And a lot of these trees have grown up in the last kind of 10, kind of 50, 100 years. So as you take a lot of these trees away in your mind, not kind of physically, and then kind of the thing about actually how far you can see north, south, and actually what a good vantage point this is in for early history in terms of actually seeing where your kind of food or your kind of your food sources might be, or in a defensive part in our history. And we go for a couple of those defensive parts, different points in our history where defence becomes really important, and then again the North Downs here come into their own as really good vantage points for being able to kind of predict or kind of be aware of what's coming towards you and how you can adapt to that. So we actually know quite a bit about the mobilisation fort here from kind of various research projects, but we're going to go and take a look at now at one of our structures on Reigate Hill that we don't actually know that much about, and we are actually kind of trying to help or trying to find people that might be able to shed a bit more light on it. So that's one of our mystery sites we're going to have a look at next.
Brilliant. Let's go and take a look. So we're just walking down the path, and on our left seems a sort of, is this a bunker, would you call this, James, on the left? Low building buried into the ground.
Yeah, so good question on this one. And this is, you wanted a bit of mystery on Reigate Hill, and this is our mystery site here. So Again, on our left here, with views, would have had views south across the Weald. Really good observation point. We've come to this kind of concrete structure, a bit of brickwork. First glance, looks rather like a World War II pillbox because of that concrete, because we've got these brick entrances. But if you look a bit closer, there's a few things that don't quite fit with that idea of a pillbox. And actually, one of our interesting little paradoxes is that some of our most recent history is sometimes one of our least understood. And though we think for World War II, there's a lot of records, a lot of photographs, just because there might have been a kind of plan on how to build this structure, we haven't found that yet. And because of the secrecy here on the site, we don't have the memories or the photographs of what it might have been when it's being used. But the little clues we're looking at, so in a pillbox, you'd normally see kind of small square or rectangular holes, which are the loopholes. They're the idea of a defensive feature that you'll be firing out of those. So men inside, views across in different directions, firing out of loopholes. But if we walk around this structure, it's a bit muddy, so we come off the path, so just take a bit of time. It might be nice and sunny when you dry when you visit, but at the moment it's a bit slippery. But there's a few bits I just wanted to point out. So when we're looking at this back end from the path, rather than these square holes, we've got these kind of circular holes with kind of tile ceramic protection inside. And these are more akin to kind of cable entrances or exits. So what you always imagine is there's cables coming out of these holes and then being into the ground and running in different directions. So we've got cables running north, and as we come around, there's cables running east and west as well. And we, as we go around to the south side, what you'll see here is almost like large windows. So really different. It doesn't have a defensive feel now. And now we're looking at the south side, and if you're inside looking south, you'd have lovely views out, and you've got these large windows. So what we believe this more is an observation post. You've got the good views to the south. You've got the kind of cables running out in different directions. So if you had men stationed here, keeping an eye out, recording what they're seeing, and being able to telegraph different people in different locations to what they're seeing. And why that's really important is actually on one of those corners where one of the circular holes comes out. There is actually, I can see in the ground, it might be a bit harder for our visitors to spot, but there is a linear trench running away from the structure, and that disappears down off the scarp slope into what were quarries below us. So in the history, a lot of the North Downs been excavated out, and we know that in the Second World War there was a secret establishment basically just below us, off National Trust land, on private land, but built into the quarry was the Surrey World War II Belt Command HQ. So a load of tunnels quite easily dug into the chalk for kind of basically planning, recording, monitoring war effort, and as backup protection for Surrey. But if you're in those tunnels, you wouldn't be able to see much. So you're probably relying on things like these observation posts on top to kind of warn you of kind of enemy approaching, or even planes approaching that might be coming in to do a bombing raid, so you could actually get into shelter. So that's what we believe. However, we're not really confident on that kind of thing. So actually, people have an idea what they have a bit more local knowledge, or have some photos or some more histories or memories. We really encourage people to get in touch and actually share some of those memories, because we really like to understand more about this site and actually, again, share that story with our visitors.
Yeah, so a lot is still a mystery. There's a lot more still to unpick.
There is, and that's, again, you asked me earlier about what I kind of enjoy about archaeology. I think that's one of the other things as well, that we don't always have the answer. It's about asking questions, trying to find answers, but there's always something more to unpick, to unravel, and to share, and new things come to light. And even with our most recent history, it might be so we get an oral history memory, or get a photograph donated to the Trust, which really then unlocks a whole new story and sends off on a whole new adventure into what that can tell us about the site here.
James, what are these to the left of us? These sort of, are they stone mounds?
Oh, so unfortunately, where we're here on Reigate Hill, on the 19th of March 1945, 9 people lost their life in a plane accident here. And this memorial kind of memorialises their life and just pays a little bit of memory and thanks to their effort in the war.
It's a really sort of sombre but subtle tribute, isn't it? By just seeing the wingtips coming out of the ground and knowing that bare expanse in between is the size of that plane, which is really quite huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a large sculpture here, but also quite subtle. You've only got the two wingtips, and then there's empty space in between As I say, it gives you an idea of the size of the bomber aircraft being flown, but also, again, the number of men that were required to fly that. 9 individuals were in that aircraft that lost their life here. What's really nice here is the sculptures are using local Surrey Hills wood, and the actual metal used for riveting the ends of these wingtips is metal that's been retrieved from the site here, so potentially bits of the old aircraft crash.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the National Trust Surrey Hills podcast. To find out more, visit nationaltrust.org.uk/Surrey Hills.